Good morning once again, everyone. My name is Jaime. I'm one of the pastors here. I'm glad to see y'all here this morning. One of the things I love about our church is that we are a church that helps develop people. The Lord brings us great people, and when we see his gifts and his talents in people, we want to fan those things into flame and give people opportunities to develop in that. Some of you have seen us do that even in preaching. You may have heard Ernie Lane, our student ministries director, preach here on a Sunday morning or at North Chatham as well. Ernie went from having a desire to preach but no experience to being part of our regular preaching rotation because we are a church that develops the people that God gives us. And today we have an opportunity to continue to invest in someone that the Lord has brought us as well by giving her an opportunity to continue to develop. Elizabeth Lindberg is our Director of Family Ministries here at Chatham Community Church. She has been a part of our church for a number of years, serving in a number of different capacities, and the teaching gift is evident in her. We have seen her, the blessing of her teaching to our children through Chatham Kids, the blessing of her teaching through our student ministries, where she serves there as well. She blesses us by writing Connect devotionals. She has written reflections for our Good Friday services and leads a wonderful small group that has continued to develop people and launch people into different small groups as well, as new small groups have emerged from hers. She has pursued a theological education and just completed a degree, and as part of that, took a preaching course. I had an opportunity to listen to one of her sermons a few months ago, and as soon as I saw it and as soon as I heard her, I thought, we need her on a Sunday morning. So we are blessed to have the opportunity to listen to her this morning, and it just so happened to coincide with my surgery, so I think the Lord was orchestrating something in that. Would you join me in praying for her and then give her your attention? Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you because Elizabeth represents the gift that you give us of people, the way the body works, the way we get to learn from one another and grow alongside one another. Thank you for all the ways that Elizabeth has been a blessing, and thank you for the ways that this church has been a blessing to her. Now, Lord, we ask for more. We ask that you would fan into flame what you have already placed in her, and that you would give us this morning ears to hear, eyes to see, hearts to receive, minds to understand, and wills to obey your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, good morning, everyone. It's wonderful to be here with you. I've had the pleasure of meeting many of you, but of course, I don't know everybody. And I was thinking about, I actually probably know some of the kids more than the adults. And as Jaime mentioned, I serve it with the Chatham Kids at the North Chatham campus and these fine young teenagers with the youth group on Sunday night. And I think that you all know that we have some pretty spectacular young people among us. Amen? And if you're a parent or a grandparent, a friend, a neighbor, pouring into the life of a young person, you are doing such important work. And as the mother of two adult sons and the director of family ministries, I know it's not always easy, but it is well worth it. So be encouraged. So not too long ago, I received an email from with an invitation to a speaking event in Dallas, and it was unexpected, and I was thrilled. And so after shedding tears of joy and thanking the Lord for the opportunity, I proceeded to text, call, and email members of my family and several friends. I was over the moon, and this was news too good to keep to myself. Can you think of a time when you received some good news? Maybe you got a job or promotion that you were hoping for, or maybe you got an A on that really hard exam, or maybe you found out you were getting a refund on your taxes. So how did you feel after receiving that good news? Did you find yourself a bit more outgoing than normal? Did you want to share your story with anyone who would listen? There are times when something so significant happens to us that even if we're more introverted or reserved by nature, we want to tell someone else about it. On the other hand, have you ever been in a season where there's been nothing but bad news? And have you ever felt like you just needed something good to come your way for once? What if one of the gifts that Jesus gives us in the midst of negativity and worry is the gift of good news that brings blessing and peace like nothing else? What if you're here today to be reminded that you can be the voice of good news to someone who desperately needs to hear it and could change their world for better? So this is the fourth and final week in our Change Your World series here at Chatham Community Church. And we've looked at the lives of men like Daniel and Nehemiah and the Apostle Paul as they sought to be faithful to God in the midst of suffering, how they fought injustice, and how they had a longing for their world to change and to be made right. Many of us have those same longings. And God continues to use people, you and me, to be expressions of his love, his justice, his mercy to the hurting world around us. And this morning we're going to look at a true story of which demonstrates a beautiful, the beautiful demonstration of God's love for us and his kindness. It's an encounter between Jesus and a Samaritan woman as he gives her news too good to keep to herself. You just heard Colleen read from John chapter 4, and the Apostle John wrote his gospel account of Jesus' life, and in particular, specific events and encounters that Jesus had, so that whoever would read his words would believe in Jesus as God's only Son, the promised Savior. And if we believe in him, we will have eternal life. At the end of his gospel in chapter 20, verse 31, John says, "But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing in him, you may have life in his name." John, as well as the other gospel writers, condensed 3 years' worth of ministry, of Jesus' ministry, into their accounts, recording the most critical events and relationships in Jesus' life to answer very important questions. Who is Jesus, and what is this life-saving good news he came to offer? In fact, gospel means good news. So with all that in mind, as we look at this interaction between Jesus and the Samaritan woman, we can think, this must be very significant. And indeed it is, as we will see. So the chapter begins with Jesus and his disciples traveling from Judea to Galilee, and the route they were taking was due north, straight through Samaria. And this is an important detail. Why? Because for centuries, there was animosity between Jews and Samaritans, based in part on differing religious practices and beliefs. And to be frank, the Jews didn't respect the Samaritans, and as a result, they would avoid traveling through the region and going way far out of their way to avoid interacting with them, even if it meant adding days onto their journey. But on this particular trip, the text says in verse 4 that Jesus had to go through Samaria. He had someone he intended to meet, someone that others might avoid. And if you've ever felt unseen or unworthy, if you've ever felt you weren't good enough, if others have avoided you or disregarded you, good news. That is not how Jesus sees you. He goes through Samaria when everyone else avoids it. And he's here today to meet with you. Wherever you are, whatever your life has been like, he's here to meet with you. So, along the way, Jesus became tired and sat down by a well. This is a spot where people in the community, in particular women, would draw water every day. And the disciples had gone into town to pick up lunch, so Jesus was there alone when a Samaritan woman approached. Jesus asked her for a drink, and a really interesting conversation began. And there's a few things that are particularly interesting about this encounter. Number one, it was a woman. And in this time and culture, it was extremely unusual for a man to address a woman in public. Number two, it was a Samaritan woman. And as I said, the Jews and the Samaritans didn't exactly see eye to eye on spiritual matters, and there was a great deal of animosity between them as a result. And number three, it was noon, the hottest part of the day. And typically, all the water gathering had been completed hours earlier, so the women could avoid the heat. Noon wasn't exactly the social hour at the water well. So why would this woman come to draw water, a necessary daily task, at the heat of the day? Now, there's a lot of speculation about this, but one thing that seems to be painfully obvious is that she likely planned her trip to the well at this time to avoid interactions with the other people from her village. And to do this, she must have been very lonely, but not for long. At the outset of the conversation between Jesus and the Samaritan woman, Jesus, with grace and compassion, describes some painful aspects of her life that someone outside of her village wouldn't have known. And after that, she shared how the Samaritans have specific religious beliefs and practices related to worshiping God. And she, in fact, she actually got into a little back and forth with Jesus about them. Jesus then explained that true faith isn't just a matter of religious rituals and practices. It's something much deeper. And religious ritual or observance could describe the way that I thought about Christianity growing up. You see, I grew up in a denomination where church on Sunday was a must, but perfunctory. Went to church on Sunday, check, good to go till next week. What happened on Sunday stayed on Sunday, and my Monday through Saturday didn't look any different from the world around me. Do any of you have an experience like that? Church is a check-the-box experience that doesn't affect the rest of your life? Unfortunately, I think this is still common today, but an encounter with the living God can change our world. So perhaps to demonstrate some spiritual knowledge, the Samaritan woman said to Jesus, "I know that Messiah, called Christ, is coming. And when he comes, he will explain everything to us." Then Jesus declared, "I, the one speaking to you, I am he." This is the reason why Jesus had to go through Samaria. He had good news to share with the Samaritan woman, the very best news, in fact. And if you're here today and you have not yet had an encounter with Jesus, we are so glad you're here. Like the Samaritan woman, you are seen by Jesus. The Son of God loves you and wants a relationship with you. And he will go out of his way to meet you. Now, watch what happens as Jesus reveals himself to her as the Christ. Then, leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, "Come, see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah?" She left her water jar at the well. In other words, she dropped everything. Nothing else mattered at this moment. And where did she go? She headed straight back to her village to share her encounter and asked her fellow townspeople, "Could this be the Messiah?" Remember, this is a woman who was accustomed to being by herself, and women in this time and culture weren't addressed in public by men, even if it were her own husband, which she did not have. Her afternoon began with a lonely trek to gather water in the heat of the day so she could avoid others, and ended with her rushing into the town square with news too good to keep to herself. An encounter with Jesus moves us and moved her, literally. Just Jesus met her right where she was. She didn't have everything all together. What about you? Have there been times when God, who knows everything about you, has shown you his patience, his kindness, his love? Has God chased you down when you lost your footing and placed you on solid ground? Just as your encounter with Jesus was life-changing with you, hearing about it could be life-changing for someone else. Like the Samaritan woman, there are people around us who are lonely, tired, afraid, hungry for hope, thirsty for good news. Most people have deep spiritual needs and questions that they often keep to themselves. The Samaritan woman was truly an outcast, shunned by others. Yet God chose her to be his messenger of good news. And what happened as a result of her boldness? Many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. How did they respond to her? They came to meet Jesus, the long-awaited Messiah, and asked him to stay with them. And at the end of 2 days of planted seeds among the town. A lonely, disregarded outcast with no influence in her community. But she didn't keep the good news to herself. She took a risk and proclaimed it boldly. Earlier, I shared that I used to think that going to church on Sunday was enough. And it wasn't. He had to be very persistent because I was quite comfortable in my religious routine that didn't require much from me. But gently and consistently, he planted seeds until one day I sensed Jesus say to my heart, "I am the Messiah, the one you are looking for. I am he." We live in a world full of people who feel buried under bad news or feel anxious and fearful. Jesus has met me, and perhaps he has met you in the midst of difficulty, sadness, even rebellion. Maybe he's redirected you or corrected you when you were chasing after the wrong things. Maybe he's given you a burden or a calling that you weren't sure about at first. And then when you stepped into it, you found the Lord and joy in the work. Just like the woman at the well, we've encountered Jesus. And now we have our own good news, news too good to keep to ourselves. The Bible is full of stories of God seeking to draw his people into a deep and abiding relationship with him. He wants us to know him. And what's more, he wants to use you and me to share the good news of the gospel and plant seeds with people he puts in our lives and trust him to reap the harvest. There are many examples of how this is already happening in our community. There's a fourth grader in our church that hosts a lunchtime Bible study at her public school, inviting whoever wants to come and participate. There are teenagers among us who seek to listen, offer hope and prayer to their fellow classmates. Many people in our church serve others in a variety of settings in Jesus' name. What can this look like in your context? Where you work? Where you go to school, in your neighborhood, or in your own family? Is it simply starting a conversation by asking, what gives you a sense of peace and hope in your life? And then with a time of active listening on your part, you can ask, can I share what gives me a sense of peace and hope in my life? And then you can share how your world has changed since meeting Jesus. It doesn't have to be dramatic, only sincere. The Samaritan woman rushed back to her village to share the good news. You can do the same. And you might not have to go very far. You might be someone on your street or at the well at work. I mean, the water cooler. There are people around us who thirst for the living water that is Jesus Christ. And the Samaritan woman demonstrated this is news too good to keep to ourselves. So we're in the season of Lent, and we're preparing to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus on Easter. And this is one of the couple times a year where people are generally more inclined to engage in a faith conversation or be open to an invitation to church. And it's a season that can be an easy time for us to invite people to come and see. So on your seat, you likely noticed a pastel-colored note card, like this one. And so I guess, I'm asking if there are people in your life, who are those people in your life that you would long to see and to have an encounter with Jesus? And why don't you write their names on the card? And then in the coming weeks leading up to Easter, you can be praying for them. Be sensitive to the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit might guide you to speak a word, to serve someone, and be praying for them so that you can share the good news that Jesus brought on Easter Sunday. So I'm just going to give you a moment to maybe jot a couple names down, and then you can keep those cards again to be praying in the coming weeks. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your Son, Jesus, to leave the throne of heaven and to walk among us. He is our Emmanuel, God with us. Lord, thank you that Jesus seeks us out, wants to know us, and demonstrates his great love for us so much that he went to the cross and suffered death, was buried, and rose again on the third day. And when we confess in our hearts, or believe in our hearts and confess with our mouths that Jesus Christ is Lord, we are transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, and our sins are separated as far from us as far as the east is from the west. And when you look upon us, you see us clothed in the righteousness of Christ. Thank you that you have reconciled us to yourself through your Son, Jesus. And then deposited your Holy Spirit within each of us. And Father, I ask that you would make us sensitive these coming weeks leading up to Easter to opportunities that you give us to share your good news, too good to keep to ourselves, and that you would reap a harvest on Easter Sunday. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.